Okay, there is a question that we want to continue our relationship with all brothers, but the brothers have no interest to continue the relationship. They always avoid talking or refuse to hold the phone when we talk on the phone. This is for the parents, for the purpose of our parents, kept them. They deny to hand over properties to sisters. Okay, now... you know, it is very critical, you know, for our families. That's the reason why I mentioned healthy, empowered families. The Prophet ﷺ is the best of humanity. Greatest of the Anbiya. But he would listen to his wives. And one of his wives, whose name was Salama, radiallahu anha, you could call her the secret advisor of the Prophet ﷺ. She's like the Secretary of State. And there's one case after the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, when the Muslims had come to make Umrah, and the Quraysh refused, and then they decided an agreement, they would return to Medina, and then come back again. It seemed like a defeat. So the Prophet ﷺ said to them, come out of ihram, shave your head, sacrifice your animals. Nobody moved. Because they wanted to deal with Quraysh. And the Prophet ﷺ, as a human being, he was frustrated, right? So he went toward his tent. His wife Salama said, look, in this case, don't just talk to them. Go out and do it yourself. Because they're used to following you, right? So she gave him the advice and he went outside, shaved, took off. Then everybody shaved, took off, and they followed him like they followed the sunnah, and the problem was solved. So he listened to her. He did not say, oh, you woman, how are you going to talk to me? He listened to her and took advice, although he is, you know, a Nabi al-Hashimi al-Qurayshi, receiving revelation from above seven heavens. So I appeal to all of the brothers especially. Take time to talk with the women of Islam. Any of the women in your house, listen to them. Talk to them. It's not destroying your manhood to listen to a woman. As a matter of fact, you will be a stronger man. You will be closer to the example of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. It says, my son likes to spend money for buying brand name expensive shoes and the dress for fashion. He also likes to listen to music. How can I convince him to stop this attitude? What we have to realize is that we need to teach the younger generation to open their eyes to what is happening around them. That's the reason why I included in the talk, right, about Boxing Day and about, you know, the months and New Year's, to show you it's an illusion. And you have to use your sense. And they change the styles in order that you can buy something new every year. The boots that you have and the running shoes you have, you could probably wear them for the next 5 years. But because the style has changed, now you got to buy another pair. Because the pants are so tight now, it's like painting your body. Next year it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So every year you have to follow their styles. This is the shaitan wal iyadhu billah. This is being done by people who want to control our minds and to turn us into slaves. Slaves of the system. So we need to open up our minds and realize what is going on around us. Because there's trickery happening. It's an illusion. Yeah. Okay, well, you know, in terms of my own, you know, life, that's not the important thing now. Right? Because, you know, a person becomes Muslim by the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That really isn't the important thing, you know, here today. There's no special story, you know, that I have anything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided me, you know, from darkness into light. No. You know, we don't, part of operational unity is that, you know, when we are dealing in this, you know, realm of discussion, it's not good to name organizations or to name individuals. If there is something that you see wrong with your brother or your sister or the organization, you don't attack them personally. What you dislike is what they're doing. It's not them. You see? And we have to learn, we have to agree to disagree. In other words, there's some differences amongst us. And we have to learn to accept differences. That's not an easy thing. But we have to learn to accept differences, and we have to learn to forgive each other. To forgive each other and to unite. Because the time is getting more and more crucial. These people south of the border, they're talking some serious stuff. I don't know if you're aware of Donald Trump. He's talking about making all the Muslims register, right, and putting them in concentration camps. And in World War II, right here in this country, although alhamdulillah, we are in a much better situation now with the new prime minister, and a much better situation. But in World War II, when the Japanese were fighting, they took all Japanese, Americans, and Canadians, and they put them in concentration camps. David Suzuki was a famous scientist, spent many of his years as a young man in a concentration camp. Right here. So before it is too late, we need to unite ourselves, you know, overlook these minor differences between ourselves, have transparency in our masjids, and do something to benefit society. So society knows who we are, instead of getting the narrative from the movies or from the television programs. Yeah, you know, as far as the divisions are concerned, it's not watertight. This is saying it's watertight divisions. It's not watertight. It can be broken down. A lot of the division is in our head. When we used to have the Jami Mosque, I don't know, does anybody remember the days of the Jami Mosque? Way back in the 80s? See, this is maybe another generation, right? We had all the Islamic movements, all nationalities, all schools of thought in the same masjid. And we said each weekend we would have a cultural program to show. Each country would come and they would give the story of Islam in their country. They would cook some food for us. They would wear their clothes. And then we realize that there's really not that much difference between Muslims. It's in our head, man. The thobe is a little bit longer. There's buttons here. You know, the collar is there, slightly different. But Muslims, we wear our clothes like a uniform, like a police uniform or a fireman. And when I lived in Medina, I lived there for six years, back in the 70s. And we could tell all the nations. I knew everybody. I could tell by that thobe, he's from this country. This kurta, he's from there. This jalabia, he's from there. Because we wear our clothes like a police uniform. Then somebody comes along, he has Nigerian hat, Moroccan top, Pakistani pants, and Sudanese shoes. And they say, that's an American. He must be American. He must be a Westerner. Because the Western person is not tied down with culture. Remember Islam versus culture? If there is another nation that has a nice Islamic hat, wear the hat, man. Especially in the winter, right? If your clothes are only set up for the warm summer countries, and somebody has clothes, Islamic clothes for the winter, wear their clothes, man. What is wrong with it? You see? It's a mental thing. Our divisions, much of it is in our head. And that has to change. That has to change. Now, you know, in operational unity, at one point we formed a committee here in Toronto. And we had all of the different jamaats. And Maulana Khalil Rahimahullah and myself and a few other people way back in those days. We united all the different groups. But after we united, some divisions came. when the sighting of the moon, people broke into camps. And I realized that the problem is not ikhtilaf al-matali'. It's not difference in the horizon. It is ikhtilaf al-qulub. It's the difference in the hearts. That's what the real problem is. Remember what Allah said. He will not change the condition of a people until they change that which is in themselves. It's right inside of us, man. And it's got to change. Could you imagine if you were part of the people of Quraysh or early Muslim in Mecca and they drove you out of their home, they were torturing people, killing people, and you came back to the town, and the same one who tortured you, you have to forgive them and embrace them as your brother and sister. Are we ready to do that? Many of us, if we have a difference of opinion, they say, I'm finished with this brother. Nothing left between me and him but the janazah. Some of them, they won't even come to the janazah. Why? Because he has a difference of opinion. Because he moves his finger in tashahud. That's what your problem is, man. You see, so this is a challenge on us. It is a serious challenge. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing us. And you have to remember that the Quran tells us that if we turn back, then Allah will replace us. He will replace us with somebody else. If the Japanese accept Islam, then we're going to run our programs on time. You know, we're not going to go by, you know, Bengali time or, you know, Somali time. I call it Muslim Standard Time. It's about a half an hour late, right? Muslim Standard Time. The Japanese accept Islam, we're going to be on time. We're going to be on time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can erase us. He can erase us and replace us with another nation. And you'll be surprised who might turn out to be Muslim, you know. Because when the Mongols were coming down and killing hundreds and thousands of people and making heads, thousands of heads in mountains, nobody could ever imagine that one day many of them would become champions of Islam. You would never imagine this. When the scholars were writing about them, Ibn al-Athir and the great scholars, they said, this is like Ya'juj and Ma'juj. This is Gog and Magog. This is Qiyamah. What these people were doing. But they eventually, many of them embraced Islam and they became champions of Islam. So you don't know who's going to be Muslim. Our test is on ourselves. It's on ourselves. And we can only pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would help us in this. The situation in Spain, and we are doing programs there and traveling there every year to Al-Andalus, it's something worthwhile really looking at. And I recently went there to do teaching and also to produce an online series on the rise and fall of Islam. And you have to realize that Muslims reached the level in Cordoba by the year 1000, it was the largest city in the world. It was the pinnacle of civilization. But when materialism set in, when they started building huge palaces, and they started dividing Arab versus non-Arab, light skin versus dark skin, and they started dividing, and suddenly you have different emirs. Ibn Khaldun, you know, they even write, they say there was more emirs than cities. So every place you go, there's Amir al-Mu'mineen, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Amir al-Mu'mineen. All over the place. Then the forces of evil came back and overtook them and enslaved them and turned them into first slaves, Mudajjir, because they needed the Muslim skills, and put uniforms on them. See what Donald Trump is talking about? Put uniforms on the Muslims, make them stay in certain parts of the city. And when they got the skills, then they started what is called the Inquisition. And they would take you in front of the Inquisitor. And if you are Muslim or Jewish or a Christian who believes in one God, and you refuse to become a Trinitarian, believing in three, they will burn you alive. And the Mufti, so some of the people said, okay, I have to become a Christian. So they accepted Christianity, but in their hearts, they were Muslim. And they called them Morescos. The Jews, they call Morenos. Outside Catholic, inside Jewish. And it reached the point where the Mufti in 1504, the Mufti Abu Juma of al-Maghrawi of Wahran, he sent a fatwa. It's an amazing fatwa. And he said, he talked to the Muslims who were in this position. And he said, and his example is the case of Ammar ibn Yasir, radiallahu anhu, who when he came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, I have destroyed myself. I have said kalimat al-kufr. He was being tortured. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, how is your heart? And he said, mutma'in bil iman. I was strong in faith. The Prophet told, you're still Muslim. You're on the path. So the Mufti told these people, I know that you have to say that you're Christian. He said, keep your deen. If you want to pray, walk down the street, make tayammum, tap the wall. You're like tayammum, right? Dry wudu. Pray with your eyes. That's your salat. Because they could not be seen making salat. It was so bad that if you took a bath on Thursday night as a Christian, they'll burn you alive. Why do you think a bath on Thursday night? Anybody know why? It's Laylatul Jumu'ah, right? It's Jumu'ah. And Muslims are in the habit of taking a ghusl, right? Jumu'ah starts after Maghrib. So even though you're a Catholic going to the church, if you took a bath on Thursday, there's some Islam left, burn them alive. They made every single meal in the Spanish diet was drinking wine and eating pork. So they're going to watch you to see whether you're drinking wine and eating pork. The Mufti said, if you have to take a ghusl, a complete bath, make your niyyah and jump in the lake and go swimming. If you want to get married, you marry first in the church and in the darkness of night, do a nikah. Janazah comes, you got to do the burial. The church, at in the darkness of night, do janazah. And he gave him a system of survival. And by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right now, there are Spanish people embracing Islam. They're coming back. Could you imagine 3 million Muslims were killed or driven away? 3 million. But they're coming back now. The people are embracing Islam again. So this is an example for us, right? That we are fortunate. In this country, you're fortunate, man. There's a lot of opportunities the country is still giving to us. Take advantage of it, man. Benefit the society. Teach the deen in a friendly way. Open up your mind. Open up the doors. And pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would help us out of this situation. That's the end, right? So we leave you with this, and we pray that Allah would continue to bless this community, and that everybody should support in all the way that they can to keep Bayt al-Aman as a strong Islamic center, inshaAllah. So we pray that Allah would accept us, have mercy upon us, and protect our children in this difficult time. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk, bismillahir rahmanir rahim wal asr, innal insana lafi khus. إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وصلى الله تعالى على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين